Okay, I have news.
What's up?
I finally heard back from the sewing shop, and my serger has finished been getting repairs.
Oh, well, that's good. When did we send it in again?
January.
Okay, so is that the usual turnaround time?
I have no idea. The last time I got like a sewing machine tuned up, it took like a week. This took several months, so no idea.
What was the name of this machine?
I don't know what type of serger it was.
Oh, no, that's not what I was asking. You've given all of your machines names.
Oh, I haven't gotten to use this one. I don't have a name for it yet.
Nameless.
Gertrude and Alexa are named after my grandmothers, my great grandmothers, each of whom sewed. But no, since I haven't gotten to use this serger, I don't know what it's like. But do you want to know the wild part about this specific machine?
What's up?
So when my mom gave it to me, she gave it to me incomplete. You had to buy a cord for it, like for the pedal. And then eventually my mom found it and gave it to me. So I guess we could potentially return that, but it's probably outside the window of purchase.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
But the other thing that was missing was the presser foot, which is the thing that like pushes down on the fabric and like moves it, right?
Oh, when you said foot, I immediately started thinking about the different types of pedals that are available for these machines.
What do you mean different types of pedals?
Don't you have different pedals?
No.
Like the zipper pedal and the...
Those are foots. Those are presser foots.
Those are presser foots.
Yes.
You could see how I would think that's called a pedal.
No, because there's a thing that you put your foot on and controls the speed of which it moves. That's the pedal. I can see you getting frustrated in your eyes. Anyway, so it was missing both. It was missing both the pedal and the presser foot. So I finally get it and they call me in the middle of working through this and they're like, do you have the presser foot for this? And I'm like, no, don't think I do. It's going to be $65 to buy the one that they provided.
Is there any other way to get one?
Yeah, just find it on Amazon. But they're okay. Like, well, we decided that you needed to use the name brand.
Oh, the OEM. The original manufacturer.
Sure. That's a commonly known acronym.
I'm sorry. When you replace something like a piece of like computer or something, sometimes you want to stick with the OEM, which is the originally manufactured board or whatever it is.
Yeah, the name brand product.
Not even necessarily, just whatever was original in the thing. So like, you know, with cars and stuff, you want to try to stick to OEM headlights and stuff like that. If you don't, then you end up with those headlights that when you hit the brakes or whatever, they like flicker.
That's kind of fun.
And so if you ever see like a brake light like flicker, that means that they didn't go OEM. And I was like, that's weird. I don't know why that's not a thing that we fixed yet.
But yeah, but I was very upset that this stupid freaking juke serger has a $60 presser foot.
Yeah.
And so I'm not buying that. And I because otherwise to like finish paying it off is $200.
Oh, well.
So after I drop you off today at the airport, I will be picking that up.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. All right. Hi, everyone, and welcome to Cosplay Con Crunch, a podcast by two cosplayers talking about the joys and horrors of cosplaying. I'm your host, MJ, known as Cosplay_Cajun.
And I am Ryan, also known as Actual Rye 96. You can tell because I'm actually Rye.
And you can 96. Tell that it's early morning because Ryan is a little EP.
No, the EG. Well, yeah. I like keeping them in ambiguity.
And today we are going to be talking about something that we have alluded to on several of our episodes, I think, which is a bylaws, a code of conduct, conmandments, if you will.
Why are we calling them the conmandments, dear?
So we found 10. We deliberately came up with 10 because I like puns and I was forced to study religion as a child.
I think it's a little bit traumatizing, but, you know, if they work, then they work. We sat down and we decided that these are the 10 fundamental con respect rules that we think that people should follow.
And they apply to not just cosplayers, but photographers and your average con goer as well. So with that in mind, you can share this list with your non-cosplaying friends, with your photographer friends, and just kind of keep it in mind for yourself as well.
Yeah, I think that the number one rule is probably the rule that most people have heard of or thought about when they have been in cosplay or when they've seen people being in cosplay.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, most important rule, don't be creepy.
Thou shalt not be a creep. I think it's very self-explanatory, but why don't we try and walk through what it means to be a creep when it comes to con activity.
Yes. I think that I got to experience a little bit of that when I got to see you guys in your bunny suits.
I'm going to elaborate a little bit on what it means to be a creep to those in cosplay and kind of at conventions in general. One of the big ones, I think, is when someone is cosplaying a minor that hasn't been aged up, don't ask to do weird sexual things.
Oh, man. Have you seen people do stuff like that?
Do you know the amount of times that people put Bakugo on a chain and then have someone ask to step on him? And it's like very clearly that that is a child.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That's literally a character that is a minor.
Yeah. He's 16.
Wow.
He's 16 at best.
Even if like that's like a fully like age accurate like cosplay, like say a 16-year-old cosplays Bakugo, it still would be weird to add any kind of sexual layer to it.
Yeah. And like, I think a good example is another example of like being a creep is when we were in our bunny suits, when guys would just ogle us and ask for weird photo poses.
Yeah, the one that I think about is when they asked you to just turn around.
Yeah, like that is all right, dude. Creep. Come on. Basically, if you can't stand the idea of someone asking or doing that to like a younger sibling, don't do it.
That's a pretty good rule.
If it can't be projected onto a younger sibling, don't do it yourself.
Fair.
Which kind of leads into commandment number two, which is cosplay is not consent, which is something that I think a lot of cons have kind of picked up on and started broadcasting a bit more in like their advertising and also their messaging and also like how they say things. But I don't think people really have elaborated on what that means.
Yeah, I think they found an alliteration that worked.
Yeah.
Which is nice. And so then they plaster it up like across conventions that cosplay is not consent. I know the big thing that people probably take away from that in conventions is you should ask somebody before you take a picture of them. And I think that that's become more standard. It's not universal.
Yeah.
But it's become more of a standard in terms of ask somebody before you take a picture. This is a good practice of consent. But there are also other people who, when you ask to take a picture with them, you will now take a picture with them and they'll like put their arm around you or they'll like do something like that. And that's not necessarily okay for everybody.
Yeah.
So we're, you know, generally more okay with the idea of like, oh, arm around or this and that. But like, you know, not everybody is fully all right with that.
And I think the other thing that really comes up with this one is there are a lot of female presenting cosplays where you are not fully clothed. Or there's like an iconic picture or pose that people want you to do.
I see. Yeah. Yeah.
And that is also what cosplay is not consent means. If it's like, don't right. try and pressure people into doing poses and positions that they aren't comfortable with. But also like just because your ass is out doesn't mean that it's free to grab.
Oh, man. Yeah. I mean, you'd think that'd be obvious.
And I think one of the best examples of what you were talking about is when we were at Anime Boston. On Sunday, we were in the dealer's hall and Dan Does Dress Up literally called out a guy who tried to take a picture of me from behind while I was leaning over to talk to a vendor.
Oh, man. Just like completely unprompted. Just.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. No, that's the worst. I know that when we were at Anime Boston, the biggest problem that I had on that last day was really just the random people. And so this podcast might not reach out to those people and have them acting right. But at the very least, we as a community could do better and be all on the same side, which is ask for consent. It's really
easy. Ask for permission and accept it if it's rejected.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Okay. I think we can now move on to the third bit, which is you should be mindful of your hygiene and how it affects others.
Oh my God. This is the biggest one that I cannot believe has not been rectified since the early 2010s when I first started cosplaying.
Yeah, this one felt like, you know, the more people that got into it, the more, you know, in a big group setting, you would notice it. I guess not.
There are 25,000 people that attend Anime Boston every year.
That's incredible.
It is jam-packed. I don't care who you are or what you are. We are all indoors. There are thousands of people. wear deodorant.
This is like, I mean, you're less familiar with it, but in like the fighting game community, they say that Super Smash Bros. Players are generally the most smelly community. And so, I don't know. And the meme is just that, why can't you just take a shower, right? And I don't know what it is. I mean, amongst like the fighting game community specifically, mm-hmm. there's almost like a sense of pride in stinking.
Ew.
I don't know. I genuinely have no idea. But it's a weird thing. And as a cosplay community, we could be better than that. we could well, rise like, above that.
And it's not just cosplayers. It's oftentimes when I've interacted with people at cons, the ones that like have body odor are the ones that aren't in cosplay.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And so that's a big issue of it. It's just like, no, you need to be mindful of like, especially when you ask people to get close to you for pictures and stuff, of like what you smell like. And, you know, access to hygiene isn't always great. I'm very understanding for individuals with depression and other things that make hygiene difficult. That being said, if you can lightly and kindly tell someone by assisting them in body odor aspects and hygiene aspects, like I knew someone that when they would go to a con, they would carry baby wipes and deodorant wipes.
Oh, that's nice.
To pass out. To
yeah, anyone. Because there's almost like, you know, the staff at these conventions will have like a lot of like handy like things just here and there. They'll have like super glue and stuff like that. I don't think it would be a bad idea to equip staff with just like deodorant wipe super fast. Just whatever.
And I think here's my big thing. It's something that my mom taught me long ago, which is if someone has a problem, like physically, that they can't fix in 5 minutes, shut the hell up.
I see. Okay.
And so like, if you don't have a solution to help someone who has body odor, like don't tell them.
Yeah. But if there is a very clear solution.
But like if the solution is like, hey, if you go to guest services right now, they have like body odor wipes, they have like cologne and they have baby wipes. You should go.
Yeah.
And here's going to be a thing for me, which is when I was at basic training and we would like work out and not shower regularly because sometimes you just don't have time to. You don't realize you smell.
That's fair. I think
there was like a week where I didn't realize how badly my like uniform smelled.
Right.
Until I like showered and changed into clean, nice smelling clothes and then had to pick up my like camis.
Yeah. What I was going to say was that you have to understand that a lot of people who go to these conventions, a convention is like a very new environment that they're not used to being in. And so maybe being around all of these people, the excitement is high. You forget to do some of your like fundamental upkeep. And I think that those are the people that it's easiest to reach with just like a respectful, hey, you know, could you just like freshen up? Yeah. Something like that. A respectful way to say something like that.
Yeah.
I don't have that level of like perfect tact, but you know, if it got to a point, right, I'd have to try to find a way.
Yeah.
I think it's important for you to be mindful of the people you go with. And if you start to notice, right, that maybe they're slacking in one of these areas, just lightly tell them.
Yeah,
it's best to come from a friend. It's best to come from a friend. It's not great to tell a stranger, hey, by the way.
But yeah, you know,
play Smash
like
Bros.
Police your own friends is, I think, a great one. Did you just make a Smash Bros. Joke?
I said, hey, by the way, do you play Smash Bros.? Are you good?
I thought it was League of Legends.
League of Legends as well. But like League of Legends is like, I think the thing with League of Legends is that it's less playable, right, in like a gigantic group. In League of Legends, it's like 5v5 normally, right? And so the groups are only that much. But in Smash, it's everybody wants to fight everybody. And so it's like a huge, like, this person's...
But only four people can go at a time.
Oh, no, MJ. Nobody plays 4v4. Or nobody plays four-player Smash. They only play 1v1s.
What?
That's not how that game works. There's a mode that allows you to play as 8 players. And literally nobody plays it competitively. Because it's too, like, chaotic. Yeah, I don't know.
I don't understand this game.
It's fine.
I know. Jigglypuff is round.
Jigglypuff is round. And not bad.
Unless I'm playing and then it's kind of shit. That's because I'm shit.
They're all bad. Yikes. Anyways.
No, I remember at Anime Boston, the first year we went, there was the hygiene contaminant place. And it was like very much like a joke cosplay. Yeah,
it was like, have you showered?
Well, no, it was, when was the last time you played League of Legends? When was the last time you watched Sword Art Online? Do you know what this is? And they held up a thing of deodorant.
Oh, right. Okay.
And it's like, that's funny, but like also...
Highlights a bigger issue though.
Highlights a much bigger issue. All right, moving on. This is going to be the complicated one. And I think... it's coming more to light with like TikTok and people being able to like have more access. But there is a big group of people that are vocal that talks about cosplay, accurate cosplays.
Yeah.
In three categories, which is harmful. And they are race, gender, and body shape. And so there are a lot of people out there that will shame people for like crossing gender lines, like doing gender bent characters, doing characters that you weren't the same size for, doing the same, doing like the wrong, quote unquote, wrong race.
Mm-hmm.
And that's shit.
No, it absolutely is. I think it's incredibly harmful when a lot of these like older shows are very, like, uniform. The characters are very uniform.
Yeah, everyone's Japanese in anime, unless stated otherwise.
But weirdly enough, people don't see it that way. A lot of people will see, like, Goku as just, like, a white guy. And that's just not right.
Is it weird that I always saw the Saiyans as, like, Filipino?
I don't know. That's a take, right?
I saw them as Filipino.
I saw Bulma as, like, at least part American.
I saw Bulma as half white, half Japanese.
Yeah.
But I saw all the Saiyans as, like, either Philippines or Vietnamese.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean...
no one in that show was white, except for maybe panties.
Right, but that's the thing, you know? And I'll see, like, people from different communities, from the non, like, white communities, cosplay people from Dragon Ball or, like, a lot of these older shows, and all of a sudden they'll be like, oh, are you doing, like, a XYZ minority version of this character? It's like, dude, no, they're just doing that character.
Yeah, and I think the big thing that comes up with this a lot is people that are angry about it will then shout back, well, then can I do Black Panther as a white guy? It's like, you can.
Yeah, I guess.
Do you want to unpack why you want to?
It's almost reactionary.
It is fully reactionary, yeah. And that's the thing. Of it's like, no, you can do that. Go for it, bud. But why don't we sit down and discuss why you, a white cosplayer, wants to do like the one now famous black comic book character,
mm-hmm,
after you saw a black woman cosplay Rogue?
Look, it's really awful, because it's almost like it's the same people who are like, oh, then I should be able to say the N-word. And it's like, that's
not the same. Right. That's not the same at all.
You know, genuinely, the people who you are allowed to cosplay, in my opinion, whatever race of character you want, but you need to understand the context with which you are cosplaying that character.
Yeah.
If you are a white person and you want to cosplay Black Panther, your prerogative. Maybe you really resonate with that character. Maybe you are a huge, like, racial ally. Maybe you do a lot of work and, you know, and it resonates with you.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine. You could do that. But that's not the white guy who wants to cosplay Black Panther.
No. And I think the other thing is, like, you and I have run into this a couple times because, like, you're mixed.
Yeah.
Would you like to say what you're mixed of?
Yeah, I think saying mixed was weird.
Well, all right. So Ryan is half Ecuadorian, half Indian. And yeah. I'm, by the title of my Instagram, Cajun.
No way.
I know, right? And so we have had experience where people have like come up and been like, oh, are you doing like a race bent version of this character? And it's like, no.
The crazy thing is that
I'm not.
Seeing as MJ is white, that gives MJ access to a lot of characters. And they're still just like, are you doing a race version? Bro.
And I'm choosing white characters. Like, this happened one time when I was doing, not Mihawk, who was it? Oh, it was Cherry.
Could you imagine if somebody asked you about Gambit? I'd lose it. That would be ridiculous.
It'd be so funny. Are you doing a race bent version of Gambit? No, I'm doing...
dude, I'm Cajun!
I guess I'm doing a gender bend version of Gambit.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
That's the one that you can ask.
Weirdly enough, have you noticed that people are more all right with like a gender bent version of a character than they are with a race bent version.
Oh yeah. I mean, it depends on the character.
Yeah, I guess.
Some dude bros get real mad when you cosplay Dragon Ball characters.
I feel like, all right, well, I'm trying to think of like a very like manly like character that like a girl would do and guys would get mad at.
Vegeta.
Why? That's just
the problem is, Ryan, you're not the guy.
I know. I'm not that guy, pal.
You're not that guy. But no, and I think it's a big thing to like highlight of. It's like, no, people are allowed to do... Masculine people are allowed to do feminine characters, and feminine people are allowed to do masculine characters. Yeah. It's not a big deal. And like, you can either do like a gender-bent version or like an AU version, or you could just... Like, when I do Marco, I just compress my chest.
Yeah.
I just look like a guy. No one ever clocks me as a guy. I'm not very masculine looking, but like still.
It's, I promise you, MJ, it's just because Marco doesn't live very long.
Yeah, everyone thinks I'm Hanji. But Hanji's not binary.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Once when people clock me as Levi.
Oh, the wig kind of has like a Levi look to it though, so yeah. Anyways, but I think another one that we haven't really touched on is the body shaming aspect of this.
Oh my
god. Which is always really bad. You know, we watch anime and a part of it is like escapist, right?
Yeah.
You watch especially shows like there's like Dragon Ball, JoJo's, man, like Baki, stuff like that, where the characters are known for their jackedness, right?
Yeah.
You will never look like that. You'll never look like Broly. Dude, come on. But yeah, I don't get why people think that it's just like you have to look exactly like the character to do them.
And I think the other big thing is it's like you have to recognize like that's definitely stopped people from cosplaying certain characters.
Yeah, no, it stopped me from cosplaying certain characters. I've thought about it and I'm like, well, I'm not that big. I want to do that character, but I'm not. No, like I was like, but the thing about this character is that he's just so strong, but I'm not that strong.
No one's that strong.
That character, but I know. But then I think about it, and I'm like, well, I know, like the guys who do that are like, you know, are a little bit jacked, right? And I'm like, I'm not jacked like that, and so I can't do that. And that's a thing. It lives in my head, and it's things that I'm working on. But still, I can see why this is a thing that can stop people from doing a cosplay.
And I think like a really, really big part of it is, as someone who presents as feminine most of the time, anime characters don't have normal proportions.
That's true.
And like, as someone who is athletic and like does work out, it is weird to want to cosplay some of these feminine presenting characters, knowing that like, all right, one of two things is going to happen. Either someone's going to tell me I don't have like the chest for Nico Robin.
Bruh.
The or they're going to tell me that, or they're going to like ogle you. And those are the two options.
Yeah. Either you get it right and you get like over perceived, or you get it wrong and people will judge you for it.
Yeah.
And that's not fair. There's no middle in there. It's only like on a balance. It's either one or the other.
The great balance of the patriarchy and misogyny. It's so comforting.
Indeed.
So I think the big thing is if you see someone is about to shit on someone else for not being the originally designed body shape, gender, or race, slap him in the face.
Indeed.
All right, moving on.
The next one is to be aware of your personal space and conscious of your build size.
Thou shalt know the occupancy of your 5 foot square.
Yes, I think this one gets complicated because people will always want to build a bigger and more complicated cosplay. The one I think about, I have two things that I think about when I made this commandment. Mm-hmm. And the first one is like wings. It's always
Ryan
wings.
Refuses to build me wings.
Yeah, because I think about wings and I'm like, humans don't have wings. So we don't know what to do when something's projecting out of our body like that. Right. And especially if it's non-collapsible wings, right? They're just sitting on your back, you're walking around, and they're gonna slap people, right? And that's not fair. They didn't ask for that. You could be apologetic, but a lot of the times you won't even know that it happened. And so that's why
you can't feel them. They're non-articulating, like you don't.
Yeah, no, I know. But what I'm saying is that like without any haptic feedback, you need to be
mindful of your personal space. Know how much your body takes up. And if you don't think that you can handle that, I'm sorry. Maybe don't wear wings. Don't wear wings.
And the other one is any large scale animatronic like
or mech build.
Mech builds. Like,
yeah.
We have talked a couple times about the Freddy Fazbear that broke my backplate, but also like at Anime Boston, there was someone that was one of the giants from Castle in the Sky.
Oh, wow.
And that is a super cool thing to see built. And there's a girl on TikTok that like her whole thing is she builds giant mechs. Like she built a guardian from Legend of Zelda, Breath of the Wild. And she also built like the cart Titan.
Yeah. Okay. Now I know who you're talking about.
And she's awesome. And it's such cool craftsmanship, but also don't walk around Artist Alley like that.
No, I think that we talked about this a little bit. If you're going to have a gigantic build like that and you want to wear it on one of like the big days, you can. You should definitely be able to. You should definitely be able to show it off.
You've paid for your ticket and you've put time and money and effort into that.
However, the reason that we're making these commandments is because if you are doing one of these things, we think that you are intruding on someone else's enjoyment of the convention. And so if you are in one of these gigantic builds and you're trying to like wade through Artist Alley, I think about the back section of Anime Boston.
Anime Boston, where it's that like Artist Alley. Three deposits into one alleyway.
Yeah. And so everybody's like filling through there. There's no way Freddy Fazbear or like even like a Hawks cosplay make it through that back section. Of the
well, like Ryan, I barely made through with Yoru, and Yoru's fully attached to my back and only as wide as my shoulders.
True, yeah, it's incredible, and any amount of like cumbersome, right? You can't make it through there. So maybe in those situations, you need to accept kind of the L, take the L, and you can't go into Artist Alley or the Dealer's Hall while you're wearing that. Once you take it off, go back. And then it'll be easy.
Yeah. And I think, like, we say that you're infringing on other people's enjoyment. And, like, you are. And you're not responsible for other people having a good time. But I think the other thing is, you're also kind of a safety hazard. Not only for yourself, but for others. And I think that's the big one for me. Of it's, like, I don't know if you guys have ever been hit by, like, 3D printed, like, plastic, like, Iron Man suits. But I have. And, like, I had a bruise on my leg for a week.
Yeah.
Like, you are a danger to those. And it's also a danger to your work. Like, you've talked about how your nightmare build is a Iron Man suit because of, like, trying to fix it and stuff.
Yeah. You don't know where it'll break, right? You can only guess.
You can only guess. And so it's really terrifying. And then, like, it breaks in the middle of the con. Frankly, Builds goes on like a whole rant on his episode of Otaku's Anonymous that he was on about like how him and a bunch of the other Iron Man cosplayers talked about which way would be worse, falling forwards or falling backwards.
Oh, so what did they conclude?
Do you know there's no good way. Fall sideways, I guess. Because if you fall forwards, you're going to break your fingers because of like how the joints are like surrounding your hands. But if you fall backwards, you fall into electronics.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah.
There's no good way to fall. Don't fall. Sideways. And so don't put yourself into the type of position where you might be at a higher risk to fall because like that's only thinking about themselves. Think about like if you fall on someone.
Yeah. I was going to say, I think that, all right. So with Frankly Build specifically, I know that he's been to many of the conventions that we've been to, but you know what? I've never seen him in an Iron Man suit. I think he goes out, he wears it, he takes his pictures, and I think he goes back, he changes into regular clothes, and then he enjoys the convention.
Yeah.
Because I think he gets it. It's like, he wants his craftsmanship to last, and the only way to make sure that that happens is to make sure that you're not getting knocked or dinged around by other people, or you're not knocking or dinging other people.
And that leads perfectly into our next commandment, which is, thou shalt not shit on others' craftsmanship.
Absolutely. Especially since cosplay is becoming more prevalent. There are many different levels of skill in the community, right? Some people are getting into it and they're in their 30s, right? So their first cosplay will not look, you know, as good as their final cosplay. Right?
Yeah. And I think the other thing is it's like the pandemic allowed a lot of people to get into this, what was once an extremely small and niche community.
Yeah.
I'm glad that some people out there like me have been honing these skills since they were small children.
Yeah, and in other avenues, you hone these skills initially, I think, for like what, rent fares and
stuff. Rent
like
fares, that. My own clothing.
Yeah.
Mom told me that it was cheaper to buy fabric than it was to buy jeans.
Yeah, that's funny.
So made my own jeans. Jean shorts mostly. But like that's the thing of it's like I've been doing this for a while. Most haven't. I know people that didn't like know how to sew on a button until they were in their late 20s.
Have you seen this is something that I've never seen at a convention. Is this something that you've seen online or
anywhere? It's specific? Something that I've seen of hits the worst kind of compliment, which is, oh, well, you know, I saw someone else do this, but yours is so much better.
Oh, actually, then I have seen that.
And it's like, well, why are you complimenting me by insulting someone else?
Somebody did that to you about your Yoru or the Mihawk cosplay.
Yeah, a random passerby at one point looked at me and was like, wow, you're like the second Mihawk I've seen, but yours is so much better than the other person's.
I'm like, damn.
Like, that's they not a just look frumpier. And I'm like, well, that's rude. And I think there's a difference between like being frustrated about like engagement and being like, I feel like I put more time and effort and like skill into a build and I'm getting less engagement than others that clearly like store-bought theirs. Yeah. And like that can be frustrating. And I get that.
I feel like
and,
that's a valid concern.
And that's a valid complaint. And I think the other thing is you're not putting down that other person. You're more questioning why you don't have as much engagement. Yeah. But like the idea of, especially when it comes to the craftsmanship competitions, because they're like divvied up by skill level, the idea of comparing someone in the beginner amateur to someone in the expertise category is disgusting.
It is. You have to remember where everybody's coming from. And I feel like a lot of the times people don't care. They've now, in this economy, right? Everybody has a TikTok. Everybody's seeing like the highest level professional cosplays. And when they see somebody like cosplaying at any more beginner level, they're like, why aren't they like the professional? I saw professionals online that do this better. It's like, yeah, no shit, dude.
They're professionals.
So
like, and I think
they're getting paid for this.
I think a big part of it is it's like a mentality of it's like, well, if it's not great, don't walk out of the house. Like, why are you advertising where you started? And it's like, well,
that's awful.
It's that Dwayne The Rock Johnson quote of it's like, it goes one day or day one. Everyone has to start somewhere.
Yeah.
And you shitting on someone for having started is going to make it so they never get to one day.
Yeah, that's kind of like people in the gym. You know, it's like, doesn't matter where somebody starts.
They're starting. They're trying.
They did.
And guess what? Like, I look back at, like, 2011?
Yeah.
A young version of MJ standing in her parents' dining room while her dad proudly takes a picture of her in a Terezi Homestuck cosplay that I threw together myself, having made the janky horns and glasses and t-shirt and cane all by myself and feeling so proud at that moment, like standing there while my dad proudly took like my picture.
Yeah.
And like now I look back at that and I go, we're off, buddy. That was a rough go at it, my friend.
I like that picture. I think it's very innocent.
It is. I was very proud of myself at the time. But like, and I'm proud of myself now looking back on it because I'm like, well, you know what? I wore that to school.
Nice.
I had like the gall to be like, no, this is a thing that I'm proud of. It is Halloween. I'm going to wear this costume. And me and a bunch of my high school friends all dressed up as our Homestuck characters that we liked and went to high school or went to middle school.
I have no context for Homestuck. All I know is what that character kind of looks like.
Yeah, we were the trolls.
Yeah.
We were all the trolls. I was Terezi. One of our other friends was Solix.
I've never seen somebody not like from if somebody's cosplaying Homestuck, I've always seen it be a troll.
No, they cosplay the humans.
They're yeah, okay. I like the humans. I would cosplay a human.
No, you wouldn't.
I wouldn't cosplay Homestuck.
Yeah, you
that but if I a, did.
But if I did. It's because you don't want to be gray.
I would be a man.
There's only like three men.
I'd be one of those three mans. Okay.
But speaking of you wouldn't cosplay characters. What is our next conmanment, my love?
The next conmanment is don't gatekeep characters.
Would you like to elaborate?
Yeah, I think that this one, I thankfully haven't experienced this, really, in like our friend group and our cosplay friend group. But the idea that, say, one person cosplays one character, and that means that that is their character, right? Is not a real rule, right? Like we have a friend who will always cosplay like Nico Robin or...
Or they'll cosplay Sabina.
Yeah,
from Tokyo Seven Sisters.
Exactly. And like we haven't, MJ or I have not had the interest to cosplay either of those characters. But if down the line, MJ wants to cosplay, say, Nico Robin, MJ could. MJ has that right. Even though our friend has done it, you know.
Well, we literally, in one of our photo shoots, had two friends cosplaying the same character at the same time.
Yeah, Danta's dress-up was also doing Nico Robin. They were just like two different Nico
Robins. Were two different. One was Alabasta and one was Enny Slobby.
Exactly, yeah. And so if one of your friends is gatekeeping a character saying, no, that's my character, that, no.
And the other thing is, like, I cosplay Mihawk.
Yeah.
And I cosplay Cherry Blossom.
Right.
If I see anyone else cosplaying Mihawk or Cherry Blossom while I'm in those cosplays, I'm like, motherfucker, let's get a photo.
Yeah, exactly. I've never seen it as anything other than elevating for people to enjoy the same character and to have like a similar, you know, outfit or whatever to that character.
Or ask them how they did it.
Yeah, that's actually one of the main
things. Because that's one of the main things.
That's one of the main things I like about being a con.
You learn, like, the amount of times that I took pictures with other people cosplaying Inuyasha when I was cosplaying Inuyasha was so high.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, people are chill most of the time.
Most of the time.
And everyone's cosplaying a character because they love them, not because they want to steal them from you.
Yes, it's not like, I want to add this character to my shelf. I get to do that.
Here's the thing. It's not always about you.
Oh, man. It's a great line. Bars, even. But yeah, I think that's...
Yeah, and so, like, if someone out there is like, this is... The other big thing that happens is someone will cosplay a character a couple times and then go back to don't put others down. Well, shit on anyone who does it again.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that... is worse. Don't do that. It's not yours. If anything, it's none of ours. We could all potentially be sued.
In theory, yes. If we were cosplaying Nintendo characters, we would be sued. I know Nintendo's been really bad with, like, you know, the sharing of like their characters and stuff. It's really weird.
It's weird that they now have Universal then, right?
I don't know what that means. Right? Like, I don't know what that's going to mean for...
It's also really weird because Nintendo has Super Smash, and that's literally stealing everyone's characters.
Well, yeah, I don't know, but they worked a long time to get those people in there. It was weird, man.
Weird. Finally had Disney. Had Disney bend the knee to Nintendo.
Yeah, right? That's so... Like, and they were going to have, like, the question I had was, like, well, what are they going to use as the logo, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, could use, like, they could use the mouse. They could be his logo. It could be just the mouse.
Oh, but
I'm glad they didn't do that.
That would be a horrible idea.
Just mouse. I mean, Mickey's in that game.
What?
Mickey's in that game.
When?
Yeah, most of them. He's, like, really strong. He actually is basically, like, a second main character.
Oh, you're talking about Kingdom Hearts.
Yeah, I was
talking about Smash. I was like, when does Mickey show up in Smash?
No. Mickey is, what's it? Like,
he's a paladin.
Yes, I was looking for the word. Thank you.
Donald Duck is a healer and he's pissed about it.
Is he a cleric? No,
a cleric, a healer. Yeah,
yeah,
but he's pissed about it.
All right,
which is every cleric ever.
Sad, gotta heal the party. I hate the party.
That's me. If I'm ever your druid, do not rely on me to heal you.
Big sad man.
All right, so. We're going to shift gears from talking about craftsmanship and other people interacting with you. And we're now going to bring it back into the individual, the id. Don't agree to things that will make you uncomfortable.
So what do you mean by this one? dear?
I mean that if you are asked to join a group, or if someone is like asking you to do a cosplay, or you think you want to do a cosplay, don't commit. If like the longer you think about it, the less you feel comfortable. And that could mean something like the bunny suits of, it's like, I am exposed and I'm very aware of I'm exposed and I'm very aware of how I'm being perceived right now. Or it could be like when I normally did Cherry and like, I just couldn't stand that fucking wig.
It's true. I think this kind of relates to the idea of cosplay stamina.
Yeah.
Right. So if you're wearing something and you're wearing it for a while, right, and you're starting to hit your limit, if someone asks you to, oh, let's go to this meetup, or, oh, let's go to lunch in this cosplay, and you can't, and you're starting to hit the end, change out. Don't do anything you're uncomfortable with, because you'll overcommit and you'll have a worse time. And you know what? It's not worth it in the end.
And I think there has to be a level of this where we realize that, like, if you're at a con and you're not staying there, you're like hotels offsite, or you're only there for one day, this is hard. It's hard to realize halfway through the day that you're exhausted and don't want to be in it. And I know that from experience, because when we first did Hal and Sophie, I was so uncomfortable because my dress was too long. My wig was too long. I couldn't see right. I had a mask on as well. Like, I couldn't.
That's right.
I remember. No real peripheral vision. That was the first time I ever wore a wig that like fully cut off like the sides of my my visual field. I think that dress got stepped on like 18 times in the really first bad. Hour.
Yeah.
And I was so uncomfortable and I was so upset. And what ended up happening was halfway through the con, I just took off my wig.
And that helped a lot, right?
And it helped a lot. But like, that was a thing that I had to recognize and be comfortable with. Of, it's like, I don't care if I still look like this character or not. My head hurts and I am becoming a worse person.
Yeah. I think that you should prioritize your own enjoyment to a degree, right? And not just be like, well, I don't want to be a bummer, right? And then get out of cosplay and, you know, blah, 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 leave. No, you're allowed. You're allowed to stand up for yourself. Right?
Yeah.
And not overcommit.
And kind of being mindful of your own limit leads into the next one, which is be mindful of others' times.
Absolutely. This one, I think, is super important. So,
there are so many different ways that this can mean. It can mean, like, for autographs and panels and meetups and...
This one can mean a lot of things, actually. I think one of the first things I thought about when I made this one was the idea of... being in line for an autograph. One of the big reasons that we go to conventions is to meet up with the voice actors that voice a lot of our favorite characters. It's a very meaningful experience. And one of the ways that you do that is that you get in line and you wait for the voice actor to give you an autograph or, you know, take a selfie, something like that. You know, and every time that you like purchase an autograph or you do a selfie with them, like there's a transaction that is happening, right? You are paying a certain amount of money to spend a couple of minutes with this voice actor and, like, you know, have a little rapport with them, and then you move on. Remember, it's not all about you. Sorry to say, if you're up there and you're just like not taking the hint that like the voice actor, whatever, needs to move on, you're not being respectful of their time. You're not being respectful of the people who comes after you's time.
Yeah.
Right? It's an awful feeling. I think that one I'm hyper aware of.
Almost too aware.
Yeah. I almost like, I'm like, all right, haha, thanks. And then I just want to get out of there because I'm like, I don't want to waste your time. Haha, this and that. And like, they're almost like keeping me there.
Ryan will try and bail so quickly.
I'll be like, ha, yeah, great. Let's get out of here. And I'll look at MJ. I'll be like, hey, let's leave.
I think the biggest, there were two big examples of this, and it was Chris Sabat and Chris Sabat and Eric Vale.
Yeah.
The Chris Sabat one was, we were waiting in line for so long, and you kept going back and forth on whether it was worth it or not.
I did, because I was worried about, like, the Chris Sabat one, because I so care about the characters that he's voiced, and I've, like, grown up with them and everything. Yes, I was like, what if it's not good?
This was the big differential. Ryan grew up with him as, who again?
That is Vegeta as Piccolo.
Shenron.
Yeah. Oh, man. It's like half the characters in that show. 53
characters in Dragon Ball Z. I, however, knew him from Yuri on Ice, where he plays a flamboyant bisexual from, I think, Switzerland.
Yeah, I think Switzerland.
And so I was very excited for that. I also grew up with him as Armstrong from Full Metal Alchemist. So I grew up with him like for the very unserious characters.
That's true. I don't know, man. And so like I was freaking out. The second we got up there, that's the most like respectful,
jolly
guy I've ever like had the pleasure of like getting an autograph from. I'm like, this was fantastic. But he is very good about like, he makes everybody feel like they are unique, they are special. But that is not their obligation. They don't all have to be like that.
And I think the contrast to that was Eric Vail, who our friends John and Spencer, who run a different podcast on this network, had told us ahead of time. It's like, bring his wife chocolate and he'll do more and you'll get like the friend discount. Not quite, but yes. And so I had my sister run and get fudge from one of the stands for his wife.
Like at, that was just at the convention.
It was just at the convention. I was like, this is a bit, and I'll tell them that John and Spencer say hi. Yeah. And she was like, pick an extra print. And I was like, no, we have the sword that he's going to sign and like the trunks, like stuffy. And she's like, yeah, but you've given me chocolate. Like, pick an extra print.
I swear that she said something along the lines of like, he works for me.
He did. And then we got up there and he's like, are you trying to steal my wife? And he's like, and she's like, they brought me chocolate. And I was like, yes, because our friends told us to.
It was such a fun little experience. But remember, even then, we were very mindful of how long we talked to him. We kept it to just like, you know, it was a couple minutes back and forth. And then like, you got it. I don't know. It's hard to tell people, look for the cues. Look for the cues.
And but also think about long you would want. Like, it's how long do you want the next person to be able to talk to him?
Yes, exactly. Or think about it like this. This is the way I would think about it. How long do you want to be standing behind that? How long do you want to be standing there and like seeing this go on before you're like, all right, I've had enough.
But I think another aspect of being mindful of other people's time also comes into when you go to a con as a group, not everyone wants to do the same thing.
Yeah.
Be mindful of whether or not this is a decision you made or the decision the group made. Because we had to split up on several occasions of it's like, all right, two of us want to go do this. Two of us want to go do this. Like, we're just going to split up and do this.
Right.
We'll meet back later.
Yes. I see what you're saying.
And I think like when you're staying with people at cons, be mindful of how long you take to get ready.
Oh, yeah. Plenty.
Because like we've had con roommates that take hours to get ready, and I love them dearly, but goddamn would I like to pee. But goddamn would I like to pee.
I'd also like to use my sink.
I'd also like to we love I'm
sorry
you.
No, we do love
they
you
do listen to this podcast, but we do love you. We love you a lot. It's sink just free. I really had to pee multiple times.
No sink, man.
And washing my hands in the tub is a weird experience.
Yo, I had to fucking experience sinklessness. but yeah, no, you need to be mindful of other people's time. If somebody is waiting on you and you are all sharing a room, which is very common, right, then they are unable to do as much because of how long you're in there.
Or for like so many hoodies coming by and doing your makeup for Shanks. It's like, no, you have to be mindful of like how long that's taking them.
True. That's true. That was great because, I mean, they're commuting to the convention. And they came over and they did my makeup for Shanks. And then they went back to continue getting ready. And I was like, yo, this
and I,
100% like took them out, like put them out.
And at Katsu, like they had to come to our room and do all of my Marco makeup.
Yeah.
And that took a while. But I had to be mindful of like, all right, I don't want to interrupt them getting ready as Jean. And it's like, yes, Jean takes less, but still.
Yeah.
All right, dear. And I think that brings us to our final 10th and holiest commandment.
Absolutely.
Thou shalt know there are children about.
We got to experience this one more when we were at Anime Boston recently.
Yes.
Which it felt more like a kid-friendly convention than Katsu did. And it felt more like a kid-friendly convention than Rhode Island did.
Yeah, Katsu is known to be just a rave for four days.
Yeah, there's a lot more activities that you have to have an ID to be able to get into.
Yeah, so here's the big thing with cons. Unless stated otherwise, the entire con is family friendly, meaning there are children, small children, aboust. Like when we were dressed as One Piece getting lunch, there was literally a family of four that had con IDs that came up to us and was like, our son and daughter want pictures with the four of you.
Oh, it was very sweet.
And I gave one of the kid that they were less than seven.
Okay.
Ryan has no idea how old children are.
It's really difficult, but that's okay.
And so I gave like one of them my Mihawk hat. The girl got to like hold on to Yoru. Like it was.
And that's very typical.
Yeah.
These are the same. This is an average con goer, the same as we are average con goers. The con isn't just for adults.
Raunchy, horny adults.
Yeah. Despite what the community would like you to think. It's also for families.
Yeah. And so if you see someone walking about and you look at them and you're like, they may be an adult. Assume they're a teenager.
Yeah.
Assume they're a child. Assume that they do not understand or are okay with like sexual discussions. Vulgar discussions, none of that.
No, absolutely. I think that too often have we been in a situation where like there'll be very suggestive poses at like somebody will assume a suggestive pose at a meetup. And I think a meetup is one of the most family friendly type of events.
Because like some people who aren't in cosplay just want to see all of them.
Yeah.
We'll just stand there and see all of the cosplay.
It's just cool to see like every single Luffy together, every single Zoro together or something like that. You know, then obviously you want to see that. If one of those is your favorite character, like, I want a picture of all of the water laws. D water law. And it's like
awful name.
Genuinely. But it makes sense that like, you know, a family would want a picture of that and they would want to see that. And then all of a sudden they start hitting the step on me or the this. And it's like, no.
And that's not to say you can't have that kind of behavior.
No, you can.
Go for it, buddy. I get you. I see you.
And I'm slightly judging you, but I get you.
Just do it somewhere where like it's secluded. Like just be mindful of like who you're around.
Absolutely.
And I think it's something that like I am the biggest proponent of children shouldn't be in adult spaces. You should hear me rant about people who bring children to bars and breweries. Yeah. I hate those people. Find a babysitter, don't show up.
It's not for them.
It's not for children, and I hate it. I hate it so much. Anyway.
Kids don't get sippies.
But a con isn't a brewery. A con isn't a club. A con isn't a rave. Cons sometimes have those things.
I would love to see, you know, because there's like ticket sales. We always like, of course, buy adult tickets. But I wonder what the spread is for people who buy adult versus like kid tickets.
Yeah.
You know, I'm so curious. I'm sure it's mostly adults, but I would venture I'd venture a guess. Well, I think maybe like 2/3.
Bill, it depends on what the kids' ticket counts as, because some cons have kids' tickets going up to like when they're 15.
Interesting. I know that some, what was it? Boston was like 12.
Yeah, Boston was 12. I think CT is 13.
Yeah. I don't know. It'd be interesting to think about.
But it's just one of those things if it's like, don't talk about like how you want to see different anime characters getting bent over and if you think there might like in public.
This
like,
kind of ties a little bit into our first con amendment, which is like kind of don't be creepy.
Yeah.
Be just mindful, right? Like why put some character in a sexual setting just because you see them that way.
Especially if those characters are minors.
Yeah.
Or like resonate with minors. Like don't talk about Luffy like that. Luffy doesn't turn 19 until the time skip. And even then he still acts like a 6-year-old.
Yeah, no. Luffy's in asexual.
And I say that because I remember being that like 14, 13 year old that didn't look 14 or 13, especially under all my makeup and stuff. and getting weird ass, like uncomfortable discussions had around me or with me. And it sucks.
Yeah.
Don't do that to children.
Yeah, because then it's just more questions for like a child to have to like go. I'm like, wait, what was that about? And they might ask their parents, or they might just like, it might just become a problem.
Yeah. So be mindful. Like, I'm glad you have your innocence ruined. Don't do that to everyone, though. That's not your job.
No,
it's unless not. You're Satan. And I don't even think Satan's into that.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Any other comments about this one?
I think that this one is pretty self-explanatory.
Oh, and I think the other part about this one is that doesn't mean that, like, you can't cosplay bunny suits or swimwear or, like, canon outfits that are mature. They're canon. Go for it.
Yeah,
just, like,
yeah.
Be mindful of how you pose and talk when in those outfits.
Yeah. Yeah. I think about it and I'm like, I can imagine, like, a kid taking a picture with you. And if you, like, yeah, no. Don't pose up. Don't do, like, a pinup pose, right? If a kid has to take a picture with you. Even if your cosplay is adult, they may just like the character. That just might be it. It might be that simple. Not yeah. about you. It's about the character. Sometimes. Wow. This episode has really been the subtract Don't. Yourself from the thing that you're doing a little bit.
Yeah. And I think the biggest, well, it's not a con manman, it is the golden rule, which is have fun and be kind.
Treat other people how you'd want to be treated.
No. I don't trust how some of these people want to be treated.
Oh, shit. Oh, yeah, you're right.
I was too many like, people ask me to step on them.
That is the golden rule, though. Generally.
That is the golden rule. But we now have the platinum rule, which is...
Just be respectful.
Be kind.
Nice.
It costs you nothing to be kind to other people.
Yeah.
Have fun and be kind. The golden rule, I can't trust y'all with.
Damn. Cosplayers don't get the golden rule. Cosplayers. They're too degenerate.
And on that... lovely, not at all the meaning of our audience note. I hope everyone has a great 2 weeks, and we'll see you guys next time. This has been Cosplay Con Crunch. I'm your host, the Cosplay Cajun. You can find me on Instagram and TikTok. You can find our podcast on Instagram at Cosplay _ConCrunch Podcast. Where can they find you, darling?
You can find me, as always, at ActualRye96 on Instagram.
And we are, of course, part of the Roctopus Network of podcasts. You can find out more about them as a whole on RoctopusNetwork.com. And I'm going to shout out one of my favorite podcasts, which is Tales of Nowhere. It is a wacky tabletop RPG role-playing game where the same cast of characters have to go through different tabletop role-playing systems and rule settings. I think currently Spencer is the DM. They are in season 3 of the show. And I really love going back and listening to season 1. But yeah, everyone have a great week. We'll see you next time.
All right. Bye, everybody.